Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Have you checked out the big podcast with Shaq here at Podcast One? Yeah, we talk basketball, but we're a lot more than just sports.
I met this fabulous lady. She's had to be in her 70s, knew everything about me, knew everything about sports. And the last thing she says, I love your podcast. And
I'm wow. Like, thank you very much. Oh,
but I hate that John Kincaid.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
Listen free to the big podcast with Shaq exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, director Pete Siegel. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of Hollywood hand-me-downs. And now, he's watched so much porn, his spank bank is considered too big to fail. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Just for the get on, man, to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that you share. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I'm just going to fire off a quick tweet that this dude should kill himself.
Wow.
No, I didn't say. I didn't mean it that way.
We will thank Butcher Box for this half of the show. ButcherBox.com. Enter Adam. Casual Challenge. You can tweet us your car questions at Adam Carolla Show. Hashtag Casual Challenge. And LifeLock. You go to LifeLock.com as well. And again, thanks for sharing the show. We know that you do because I think we made iTunes most downloaded podcast year end, whatever
best,
the year
best
end
of 2018 list. We got the most downloaded podcast category.
So. Wow.
Thank you, audience. And again, it's free. Turn a friend on. We don't advertise. We use you.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. So there's stories. Everyone has a story. I have stories. Dawson has a story. I'm scintillated because he saw something on the way in he hasn't seen in many a year. I said to Dawson, because Dawson's got a lot of range, I said, what are the chances I'm going to be delighted by this story or amused by this story? And he said, I give it a 5.
Out of? 4.5?
So what haven't you seen in a long time, Dawson?
Well, it's just something that I think I'm surprised still exists today in today's climate. I'm driving up the 170 to work today, and right in front of me, I see a big truck with a sign on it in brilliant Nazi red that says this.
Heil.
Oh,
Heil on. Trucks.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Hi, Bob Heil.
That's a 5.
Yeah.
That's why
this
I said
is my
a
wife,
5.
Betty Heil.
3 to 5. Is that the way you spelled Sieg Heil or Heil Hitler?
I wouldn't
know.
Yeah,
it's a German word.
I know. I get the German part. I'm just not sure if the spelling is the same. Well, see, it's all right. Like, there's a Mexican bakery called Bimbo.
Right.
And I remember they were driving around trucks like, hey, it's Bimbo. And then all the gringos were like, look at that. Look
we
at
got
that.
Him.
Yeah, which is good. Heil's fine. I guess it's a name that makes the trucks. All right. It's no shitty bang bang if you want to go German. When my grandfather, who was in the academy, back in the day, if you could remember such a time, a bygone era, they would send records of soundtracks, you know, like give you the full album, you know, just show up in the mail like, hey, voting member of the Academy, vote for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And for some reason, this record had Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. They were like both on there, but there's a full German version.
Wow.
And in the German version, they went, oh, you shitty shitty bang bang shitty shitty, and you know when you're 9, you're going out of your mind hearing them sing about shitty shitty bang bang.
That's
great. So that was a little shitty shitty bang bang there, but okay, Heil. All right, it's a trucking, they manufacture trucks. Okay, all right, it's a 5.
Is it my turn next?
Yes, it's your turn.
All right. Let's see if I can beat a five. I don't know. So we talked the other day. Remember the whole next up, ladies lingerie, that joke that everyone's heard a million times and a guy on a college campus got fired over it and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a professor and he was – the thing that's crazy is not because this was done in front of a child – this is like a 49-year-old woman who got his ass fired. Like,
right.
I don't know where all this weird white-on-white adult college-educated crime is coming from. This thing of like, right. I'm 50, you're 50, I'm going to get your ass fired because we're at a convention in a hotel.
And what's her version of the story over the holidays? Like, you'll never believe what happened to me.
Yeah.
Like is an ear assault.
That's her 5 out of 10?
Yeah.
They're in an elevator. It was a crowded elevator. We have done something which we should all hope to never do, which is we've sort of done what people do. Like there's a kind of a here's what you don't want.
Okay.
What you don't want out of society is like you see a black guy and a black woman and they're having this huge argument. And you want to go up there and go, hey, man, what's going on? Or back off or whatever. But somebody might call you a racist or a something and you just keep walking.
Right.
You know what I mean? So as a society, whatever the color of the skin of the people, if it looks like someone is being threatened or in danger, we should have no thoughts. Mm-hmm. We should just go, I'm going to go up and talk to this person. Or with the Me Too movement, you know, if your young 21-year-old intern says, hey, could we go out to lunch? I'd really like to hear and you to tell me about the business. You shouldn't have thoughts like, no, I need a third person there.
Yeah. Chaperone.
I'm going to film it all.
Right.
Or we can do it running in place outside, but we can't do it at a restaurant.
Right.
Or any like
seductive.
Because we're in such a shitty place that everyone has to go, that guy looks like he's going to hit his wife or his girlfriend. I should go say something, but I could be called a racist or something, right. And I'm going to stay out of this. And we should go, hey, this 22-year-old intern chick would probably like to learn about the business, and I should go out to lunch with her and tell her all that this 54-year-old mine knows, but I don't want to risk that.
Yeah.
I don't want to risk it, so sorry, sweetie, I'm booked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just going to put our head down and keep walking. We don't want that as a society. That's what we have. So a lot of it is news. A lot of it is Mark Garagos and his ilk. He'll tell you about his ilk. So him and his ilk. I think he's representing Avenatti, by the way.
Nice!
Wow.
Yes.
Big get.
Oh, that's good.
I can't remember where I heard it. Maybe it was Drew told me about it or
it's
something.
Is Mark the reason Avenatti's not running for president now?
It's about President Avenatti? Careful.
I hope to Christ he's at Mark's Christmas party because I'm going to get drunk with Avenatti. It's going to be awesome. Who said it was Gary? Or Gary, you told me.
It was on A&D. Drew revealed it because he talked about it on his radio
show. Right.
I heard about it previously.
Nice. All right.
So here's where we've landed in society, and here's where we don't want to land in society. Yeah, Professor Ned LeBeau was ratted out by Simona Sharoni, Professor of Women's and Gender Studies
at
Merritt College, Massachusetts. So who could have seen this coming? Also, when you do this, when you go, I am going to study women's gender and this gender, don't you just become like a fucking pig who sniffs out truffles and you just smell them everywhere? Like your job.
You need content.
Your job is to figure out what's going on with young girls in this society, not get 50-year-old guys that are making jokes busted and thrown out of the academy. That's not, this is kind of the problem when we do this because it starts off as I want to empower young girls into being airline pilots and policemen and firemen. And it turns out to you just getting older guys fired for nothing. That's what everything sort of distills down to. But Simona Sharoni did this thing where they're on the crowded elevator and everyone's yelling out their floors. And this guy does what's kind of good about our society or what used to be good about our society, which is when someone yells out sixth floor, he yells ladies lingerie because we used to be able,
a good chuckle.
We used to be able to speak.
Right.
And we used to. And then also there was an impulse to like sort of. have some community. Yeah, like we're all trapped in this elevator. I'm going to make a joke. Yeah. All right? Let's all not just stare at our phones until everyone gets off the elevator.
But Isaac, aren't you offended as a comedian?
How dare you, Brian? This is a classic joke.
This is a great joke.
So I just have a little bit of proof, a little more evidence that this joke has been around since the beginning of time, and it continues on. As you know, I live with a little one now, vast majority of the week, and he woke up very early this morning, which is awesome. And so we were just kicking it, watching a little DuckTales, which I think is from like the early 90s, maybe 91, Brian. I know that's probably your sweet spot.
Right.
So we're just watching and he's eating an apple and I'm kind of chilling. I go, wait, rewind that, which of course he can do on his own little DVD player. So this was a joke in DuckTales from 30 years ago.
5 fathoms, 4, 3. Ground floor. Hot pants, ladies' lingerie, and lots of mud. Just
yeah.
Like a
yeah. All right.
We got a band that's Scrooge McDuck now.
It's in DuckTales. Launchpad said it.
We have her response to him refusing to apologize, which is the right thing to do. He originally apologized to her and said, like, if you're offended, sorry. There's maybe a translation because she's like from somewhere.
Like from Romania.
From Romania. So he's like, this is a common joke here. And he
yelled out women's panties.
She didn't take his apology.
Yeah, he reached out directly to her and kind of explained what he meant by it.
It's my flawless Romanian accent.
She said in a recent interview that she rejects the idea that the matter should be resolved informally.
She rejects.
Yeah.
She rejects.
Oh, those Romanians.
And then to add insult to injury.
Injury.
His refusal to apologize and insistence that he was the victim added insult to injury, given the magnitude of backlash directed at me. She said,
"Well,
she
look,
been-
he claims he was the victim after he gets shit canned for making a joke. He is the victim because he got shit canned for making a joke. He wasn't the victim before that."
When the two responses you're being flooded with are "I'm not apologizing, I wasn't wrong," and huge backlash from society, perhaps it's time to look inwards and be like, maybe I was wrong on this one.
She says she's been deluged with emails and letters she characterized as, quote, anti-feminist backlash infused with sexual innuendo.
Well, how can we believe a word that this nut job says? Because she's the one who started the whole thing by misconstruing a non-half a joke, which we can see on DuckTales. So how are we to use her as some sort of filter or some sort of measuring stick to measure anything? Mm-hmm. Because she fucked up the whole thing in the first place. Obviously, she's someone who can take ones and twos and turn them into eights and nines.
Yep.
Dawson takes twos and turns them into fives. But she's taken zeros and ones and turning them into insults. So how do we know what those emails actually said to her? Because she felt threatened or she felt offended or she felt like she was sexually attacked. She felt that way on a crowded elevator with a professor who was making jokes. So your opinion is null and void, sweet.
Your compass points south.
Yes. Thank you. That was anyway, she's not accepting.
She
now,
rejects
here's,
it.
Here's
rejects,
my thing.
Rejects it.
She must be fucking miserable, right? Doesn't this sound like the words of a miserable human being?
It's
my
like
point
a joyful
is
person.
Why be 50 and so full of anger and so full of everything? Like how can you enjoy? So here's the new plan. The plan is your job is to study this subject. Then you go out into the world and you find it everywhere. You essentially find it. You can study racism, which is fine, but then you're going to go out and find it everywhere, or you're going to study women's studies or a gay, lesbian, or Hispanic, or my mom is a Chicano studies major. Now,
she saw Latins everywhere.
she was right.
California.
She was in the valley.
To be fair to my mom, I rarely defend the woman, but she only became a Chicano studies major because she needed a major where no job actually at the time.
Yeah.
Now maybe she could get a job for NBC in some office, you know, lecturing people on Chicano studies.
Yeah.
And why Chico and the Man would not fly today. But to be fair to my mom, she wanted to remain unemployable.
Right.
But you can't really just sit on a sofa that you put a sheet on and announce you'd like to remain unemployable. You must go out and go to school.
Prove it.
And then if you go to school for learning how to do MIG, TIG, or heliarc welding, then someone's going to want to know what gig you're going to take when you get out of school. Right. But if you make your major Chicano studies and then you take 13 years to get your degree, by the time you get out, there's nowhere to go and the pressure's off.
Mission accomplished.
And because you sort of resemble a chunky Tom Petty, you get kudos from the folks in your environment because they go, ooh, studying another culture.
Yeah.
Look, look
are you
evolved.
Chicano?
Look
intellectual.
Intellectual.
I'm on her Twitter feed evolved. Right now, one of her tweets.
Your his mom's?
Oh, no, sorry, on oh, Simona okay. Sharonis. Yeah. Jordan Peterson, the poster boy for misogyny.
Yeah.
No, you guys. I don't think you guys will see eye to eye.
Misogyny has a poster boy?
I love it.
And it's so well-dressed now.
Yeah. It's also... Again, I don't know. Jordan Peterson's been married for 26 years or something. And probably has like two daughters or something. Like, you got to pick guys that are really doing things to women in order to call them the poster boy. Because what it does, numb fucking skulls, is we don't listen to you anymore, Simona. The next time you tell us about how someone crossed the line or did something wrong or you felt threatened or this guy's the poster boy for whoever, we don't fucking listen to your crazy ass. You're fucking your own story up.
In a world of Boko Haram, it's hard to say Jordan Peterson is the poster boy for misogyny.
Yes, it's Boko Haram. Your grandmother texted me from hell and told me
hell!
Boko Haram. Or wherever, purgatory.
My grandma just said, she's on the river Styx.
She died before Boko Haram was even around, but she still texted me and said, Brian's not pronouncing it correctly.
I was wrong.
It's very warm here.
Yes.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and this seems like the perfect time to pose the question. It just hit me while I was driving. When we spend so much time telling people, ignore the haters, don't read the comments, only your opinion matters, stick to what you know, be true to yourself, don't read the comments, then how come people are losing their jobs right and left because somebody read the comments? But we're telling people don't read the comments.
Yes, I agree.
It's a confusing message.
Well, there's a few. I mean, I guess it kind of depends. We had what's her nose at the New York Times who had a lot of shitty things to say, but she kept her job. She made it.
Oh yeah,
Asian.
Yeah.
Gal, a few months back. But then, our Guardians of the Galaxy friends, James Gunn, he didn't make it from stuff he said.
Yep.
So the stuff you said in the past is a little, my feeling with the stuff you said in the past is it's been out for a number of years or a number of time. We then subsequently hired you at the Times or to make Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you didn't do your due diligence, then that maybe's on you.
Right.
Or you already hired the person and they executed the job that you hired them for. So why do we have to retroactively sort of... Now, I get it if a body washes up on shore and their DNA is on it or something. Or if something they said is so horrific that...
Old surveillance video of someone getting knocked out in an elevator.
Right. But I agree. It'd be nice just to keep on keeping on. And again, this notion of, well, a few things. How about just the concept of time? How about you're in an elevator. This guy makes this comment that lasts under 4 seconds. You could get out of the elevator and two floors, go in your room, go ahead and flick your Bic and fall asleep in front of the TV set and wake up the next day to a continental breakfast. Or you could file a complaint with the powers that be. They could start the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Now we got to start the paperwork. Right. Then we have to contact you. Then we're going to have to contact him. He may possibly have to get some representation. You may possibly have to get some representation. They are going to, it's not one person. There's going to be a few. There's going to be so-and-so is going to be CC'd on this. And then they're going to have to read it. And then we're going to have a meeting scheduled for later that day. And it's going to be what to do moving forward. And then where someone's going to write an email. Can we do it? Think about all the fucking time. I bet this fucking fruitcake, Simona, I bet she's an atheist. This sounds like the words of an atheist. I'm an atheist. It sounds like an atheist to me.
You know
I recognize the sound of an atheist. Yeah. Sweetie, you're 53. You're going to die soon. And then that'll be that. How much of your time, and more importantly, how much of other people's time would you like to wrap up in this fucking zero?
Yeah.
How much of that? Does anyone ever think about time? Does anyone think about what, how many hours are going into you telling somebody, hey, I got a complaint? Start typing.
There's more sand at the bottom of the hourglass for her than there is at the top. Why do you want to use that sand on this?
How do you know she has a big ass?
Wasn't a metaphor.
How old is she?
I'm saying she's more than halfway done.
I don't know. I mean, look, maybe she's 29, but this does not sound like the work. I mean, it does, but she feels like she's been around a little bit.
She's 57.
There it
57.
Is.
57. Good. She'll be dead in 20 years, and she can say, I carved out X amount of time of my life getting a guy shit canned who did nothing. Mm-hmm. Awesome, everybody. Think of other ways to kill off your life that have zero results, or actually better, not only zero results, results in someone losing their job, and results in a bunch of people having to fucking listen and shuffle paper around. Frivolous lawsuits, all this kind of stuff.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Nice job. All right. Let's see. We got,
With the game?
Oh, we got the game to play.
It's after the break, apparently.
Yeah.
We got the game to play. I got ButcherBox to tell you about. By the way, Pete Siegel, everyone, he's directing the second act. That's the Larry Miller movie we've been talking about with Jennifer Lopez and Leah Remini and all that kind of stuff. This guy went to USC, Brian.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Glory days.
And he did Tommy Boy, did Naked Gun 33 and a half. He did Anger Management. He did 50 First Dates, The Longest Yard, Grudge Match. I will say this about 50 First Dates. I don't find too many Adam Sandler movies delightful. That's a delightful Adam Sandler movie.
It's towards the top of the list, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to be an asshole, but is it 33 and a half?
Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Just checking.
Okay.
All right. Well, who could have seen this one come? It says it on. I tend to just read what's on the thing.
Yeah,
but
I saw it on the thing.
33 and a third. All right. That will not make Dylan's top 2,000 fuck-ups. It may crack the 5,000 fuck-ups.
Yeah. It'll be on the director's cut. Pete, listen up.
All right. Let me tell you about ButcherBox, delivering healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken and heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. We get it here. It's the best. If you guys are trying to go heavy on the protein and less on the carbs, this is the way to go. Dr. Drew is all over this. We're all over this. I literally bought a second refrigerator and put it in my garage because of ButcherBox. I have so much great meat at the house now. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. And no commitment, cancel easily, anytime, special offer. Subscribers get $20 off, plus free bacon for life. Free bacon for life at ButcherBox.com. Enter the code Adam at checkout. It's free bacon as long as you continue. ButcherBox. All right, let's see. We got Hollywood hand-me-downs. We're going to take a quickie break and come back with that. You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Max Pat over here. Yeah?
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's see. Yeah. All right. Let's do that. We'll come right back with Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs.
Corolla Drinks presents A Very Mangria Christmas tonight at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Come and enjoy some endless rant, mangria slushies, and shitloads of holiday cheer featuring roses and cigarettes. Loxie. Shiny and the Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. As we raise money for Jenny Pagliaro's fight with cancer, with silent toxin items like a Bose S1 PA system, a Fishman Performer acoustic amp, Yamaha keyboard, LA Kings hockey tickets, a Martin acoustic guitar, Rode microphones, bikes, Barbies, and more. And the Raging Cajun food truck will be there serving up all your Louisiana favorites. A Very Mangria Christmas. Hosted by Mike Dawson and Lynette Carolla. Tonight, 7 p.m. at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. $20 donation at the door, but everyone gets a raffle ticket and a chance to walk away with some cool prizes. More details at Carolla Drinks.
He's the Porcelain Punisher, Fondelier. It's his ass we're smelling, and our eyes are welling up with some tears. He's the Porcelain Punisher, Fondelier. If it's plop, plop in the toilet, you hear. Plus the sound of him groaning, the bowl's overflowing, you know to stay clear. It's the Porcelain Punisher, the Porcelain Punisher.
Oh, I love Dickie Banks, everybody. With always an assist from Mike Lynch. Can I say this? Speaking of the Porcelain Punisher, and maybe he is the reason. There's a couple guys who changed the game. You know, like I don't know, Donnie Schell or Mel Blunt, guys where I go like, oh, because
Mel Blank
of
also.
Mel Blanc, Mel Blunt, because of me, there's no more bump and run, or there's no more over the middle, whatever. There's no more leading with the helmet. You know, they've made rules.
Headslap's a good example.
Headslap, Deacon Jones. Like, they've made rules for certain guys, like, literally in the league. Like, again, I'm screwing this up a little, but Steelers were so dominant. Their corners were like so physical. They'd go up on the line. They'd get their hands on the guy. He'd never get in his pass route. So they made a rule that's like no hands after 5 yards or
You're
whatever
too
it
good.
Is. They made rules for people.
Yeah.
We made a bathroom door rule because of the Porcelain Punisher. Yeah. Okay. So he's got that in his rucksack of life accomplishments.
That's his Wilt Chamberlain 3 in the key.
Right. We made a rule, and the rule is door closed, all business. There's someone is in there because the door is closed. Door wide open, walk
in
without a second thought. Door jar, enter at your own risk. Yeah. Everyone adheres to it dutifully.
Well done.
Dutifully. And I would say it's been a fucking spectacular success, right? Because nobody – here's what's never happened. Now, look, this is Drew's crazy, you know, guests aside who come floating in here once in a while.
Floating.
Her name is Sherry. She's a sex expert. She's fucking nuts.
She's a sex expert.
She's a sex expert that no one wants to fuck. Okay. She's a black belt with no knotty pine to bust in half.
Right.
Okay. Her aside, just the daily goings-ons over here's, right?
Mm-hmm.
It works like a fucking charm because when you walk past the door and the door's shut, there's no like, excuse you. There's no, I'm in here. There's no one ever. You would never try a door that was shut,
no.
Right?
Absolutely
if the door's
not.
Shut, someone's in there. If the door's wide open, you don't do that thing where you dip your toe in the pool like, oh, let me check out what's going on in here. And if the door's ajar, you have to like sort of stop and go, maybe I'll use the other one, or maybe I'll let the fan run a
right,
little longer,
take a lap.
Or I'll enter cautiously. Like, the point is I laid down a very simple program through a bizarre happenstance. People decided to implement it. I did not, like many of my programs, have to plea and beg for it years and years and years down the road. This is one I merely put out there. And I think because everyone had a little skin in the game.
No pun intended.
many of the other things I attempt to implement, people are not really married to because they don't give a shit who's cleaning the mugs or whatever's going on. But since no one wants to walk into a blown up bathroom or no one wants to stand outside a door that's closed and go, I'll wait for this person. And then 10 minutes goes by and they realize no one's in there while you had to take a piss or whatever. Since there's a little bit of something in it for everyone, everyone immediately got coached up, caught on.
Adopted quickly.
And it's worked very nicely. And again, it's just all it is. It's not rocket science, just a little rhythm. Mm-hmm. Everyone understands it. It'd be nice to take this and apply it to many other facets of life, but it only works if everyone gets on it. But just think of this one example. It was implemented a long time ago. Everyone has sort of signed off on it, and it works quite nicely. Yes?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, man.
We've all been saved by it.
I'm just glad to have contributed to the team.
You did.
Well done.
This is my legacy.
In a significant way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. All right. So think of those things in your life, everyone. Try to implement as many as you can, but also realize if there's some team member who just pulls the door shut every single time they leave the bathroom or will not get on board, it shall fuck up the system.
Yeah.
Please,
only as strong
everyone.
As your weakest.
Yes,
link.
Thank you. All right, yes.
Real quick, because I think this is the only time to do it. Can I get your advice on something?
Yeah.
I want your advice, and Gina, if you have any perspective on this too, we have a day off coming up.
That just means you're in the room at the same time.
I know. He's just acknowledging my presence.
I don't think you will have any perspective whatsoever, but please
weigh
in. We're going to have a day off coming up soon, and we have decided Christy and I, are going to take Tessa to Disneyland for her first ever trip. Christmas time, all the decorations. Stuff.
Please say it's a weekday.
It is. Of course, it's a weekday. Yep. We got a weekday coming. Yeah, no show. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take advantage. Aside from don't waste your money on the personal tour guide, which that's out of our price range. What are some of your tips and tricks?
Do you want to borrow my foot brace?
Mm.
And you thought I wasn't going to be helpful.
Oh, wow.
The walking
I don't think
boot.
It would fit on, on Tessa. Oh, you're saying yeah, for me.
Yeah, I think unfortunately there's probably a divide and conquer thing. Like go over there and wait for the food, and I'll go wait in the line at the Matterhorn or something.
Well, keep in mind, she's 2 in a few months, so the rides, she will not
be she's not doing any of the rides.
Ride. It's all about characters and food. And
you'll be in Fantasyland or Storybook Land.
You're right.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, Max Faddis got something.
Well, it was for the rides. I was just saying they have an app that you can download for the fast passes on, so you can just do it all from your app. You don't have to go to each ride and pull up the ticket or anything.
That's right. There's also Mouse Wait, which is an app. Yeah, you could look right now and see what the teacups are doing.
You guys are going to, because you guys are you guys, you're going to find out in advance like what when everything's going off on the Christmas parade. You know,
it's 3:30 and 6, but yes.
There you go. The big lights parade thing, you know, you definitely want to catch that. You might want to traumatize Tessa so she never wants to go back.
Oh, that's good.
But
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Do it at the end.
Okay, yeah, so we'll have a whole day of screaming.
Oh, no, do it in the parking lot. I mean, really traumatized.
really
traumatized.
Smacker on the way home.
Stage of mugging.
Well, I can tell you right now, what happens is it leads to them wanting to go back, them wanting to go back when they're 9, them figuring out about the chick in the cardigan plaid, not the cardigan, the
skirt.
Yeah, the skirt, but it's
kilt. Skirt.
Yeah,
it's a what's happening?
Yeah, I can't. I'm saying the word cardigan, but I mean
plaid.
Plaid, but it's. We'll think of a word that makes more sense in a second. Anyway,
argyle.
I can't think of it. Anyway, they're going to find out about that chick. They're going to find out that she can get you the front of every line. They're going to want to use it. Yeah. They're going to want to use it. Mm. Yeah.
I would recommend, because this hurt us and bit us real bad.
Tartan.
Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's like a Scottish kilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tartan.
There
that's
go.
Good job.
I said cardigan.
I wouldn't have ever thought of that. If it's Anna or the other fucking Prince Elsa, all those reservations have to be made in advance.
Really?
You don't just walk up to a princess at a meet and greet.
Okay, that's good information.
We learned that very, very, very solemnly.
Okay.
And otherwise, Conway, I like this. Conway's born and raised in L.A., and his kid, you know, born and raised in L.A., and he has implemented this rule for his daughter, Sophia, her whole life. Even though we're local, and even though it's only 45 minutes away, Disneyland is for Christmas or birthdays.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not just a Saturday,
this is a
got nothing to do.
Thing to throw down. Listeners, please tweet me any advice you have.
Yeah.
And for being viciously attacked in the parking lot while waiting for the tram.
I think it's part and parcel with, the,
with your churro.
Yeah, the best.
They have holiday churros.
The best is we would walk to the front.
$6 holiday churros.
We would walk to the front of the line, and when we got to the front of the line, Sonny would puss out on whatever the thing was. And then I'd go.
We just spent 25 minutes waiting for this.
Oh, no.
We'd go $2,500.
$2,500 waiting for this. And I'd go, well, it was a great. I feel like my entire life could be completely and utterly distilled down to, oh, would they have guides, you know? Mm-hmm. What is that? Oh, well, it's $500 an hour, the minimum 5 hours or something. And you go, oh, really? And they go, well, it's really the only way. I mean, it is funny. It's funny when you hang out with rich people. It's like, hold on. Mm-hmm. You're going to try to raise one kid without three nannies?
Mm, good luck.
Oh, good luck, my friend.
And you're unemployed? That's never going to work.
Here's the name
That's
never going to work.
Like, it's where you hear like crazy arguments from other rich people. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, no. Like, you can't.
You mustn't.
You can't.
You're not getting the annual pass for the one trip a year?
You can't. Oh. You can't do that. Like, I literally, like, stood next to Bill Simmons while Bill Simmons was telling his wife, you don't have a job. You don't need a nanny. And my wife was, like, screaming at Bill Simmons. What do you mean? She's going to have to leave the house. And so, but like, it's like these crazy arguments about who needs a nanny and who needs a pass.
Sure.
Now, of course, it's an insane argument because all of humanity grew up on the other side of your argument.
Yes, it gets done quite efficiently.
And we're all
still
here.
Everyone goes to Disneyland.
I'll take it further. Me and Bill Simmons are rich, minus nannies. Well, I think Bill probably grew up in an okay. Yeah.
You have a nanny now.
Yeah.
You have an
adult nanny. I have a
nanny. That's right.
So you'll get a lot of arguments about like, oh, no, you can't go. You it's not worth it. But without the $2,500 check. Who you have to then think about tipping out at the end, which is kind of weird. Like you're 19. You make what Mark Garagos makes on the weekends.
Yeah.
And what am I going to do? Tip you out? Like, how's this work?
Wait, didn't you keep her from even getting a bottle of water?
No. I
dare you.
That's how I remember it.
At a certain point, while you're pairing this person like Mark Garagos, they go, someone who's not paying them, who's in your party, goes, oh, we're famished. Let's eat. And then everyone goes, okay. And then you all like head over to the stand.
Carnation Cafe.
And you get in line.
Right.
And then you get in line. And then like Lynette's saying to the person, what do you want? Some water? You want some whatever? And I'm thinking, that water's probably $8.
You're handing him a bottle of turtle wax.
Yeah.
Here you go. Make yourself useful.
The car's in the parking lot. Like, I was like, she's getting $500 an hour. I don't need to. Yeah. But it's kind of the polite thing to do.
Do you buy her lunch?
$506 an hour.
Yeah. If you're at a sit-down with her.
She like got a bottle of water. Oh, the kid sat there and tried to eat a corn dog. I stood up and went, let's go. Let's go. Here we go now.
Time's
and they're
wasting.
Like, Dad, we're eating our Doritos. I'm like, let's go. Here we go. Everyone crank it up. And then
amazing.
You get, well, imagine if you're paying someone $500 an hour and you're just chillaxing and eating. Like, you'd just be going, let's go. Here we go. We got to get to the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know? So.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think I paid anyone $500 an hour for anything, and you paid it for frivolity.
Yeah. I don't
something you don't even enjoy.
Max Patty, you can look it up. I don't know. Maybe it's $3.99 an hour, or maybe it's $6. I don't know. It's you don't get out for under $2,000. So it's the biggest scam in the world. Now,
I would like to know.
What happens is
I'm seeing. This is Disney World. Let me
you figure it out.
Come on.
All right. So now, first thing out of my mouth when we start talking about the nice laddie. Mm-hmm. Who is going to take us around, the first thing out of my mouth is not really so much about the money. It's more about, I don't want to be the person that walks to the front of the line, tells everyone to step back, and you thought you were getting on the toboggan next, old timer? Nope, I'm sliding in.
Yep.
I said, how does it work? And they said, oh, you go in like through the back.
Yeah.
And they're going through the back.
They slip you in.
And I go, okay, good. Because I don't want to just walk past everybody and go, rich guy coming through and go to the front of the line. And they're like, yeah, no, you come in like a secret door in the back or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Then you get there. Then you go to the Matterhorn. Then you walk past everyone in line. There is no back door. There is no secret hatch or no anything. You just do exactly what I said I didn't want to do, which is just walk right in front of everybody and then go get on. And Sonny would then not want to get on.
Wow.
Oh, at least he would make a scene.
Right.
All right, VIP tours, $550 an hour for a maximum of 10 guests per tour. Required a minimum charge of 6 hours.
Oh my God! Wow. Worse than you said. You were being a down rounder.
It's 3,000. It's more than 3,000 minimum. Minimum.
And that doesn't include food and water and parking, staying overnight, maybe.
Oh. Anyway,
I'm surprised that since it's a
well,
maximum
to be
10
fair
guests.
To me, this is when I'm talking about 5 years ago, so they could have
jacked it up
$50 or $80.
And this doesn't include ticket price.
It doesn't include. Why would it? No, they'd go bankrupt if it included ticket prices.
For $60 a piece, I'd get in that 10-person group. If it's $600 and you can take 10 people with you.
Well, now we're getting into private jet zone. Jet you know suite. What I mean? Like, could you get enough of your friends? Would it be worth it to go to Vegas?
Right.
What's Southwest? And then how much more do you want to pay to get 10 seats on a blah, blah?
Brian, if you can get 7 more people together, I'll go with you.
Oh, beautiful.
That's what I'm saying, Adam. If it's a maximum of 10 people, I'm surprised you didn't take another family that just walked by to get your money's worth.
Well, first off, that option was not... The maximum of 10 people part was not something that was presented to me. Why would it be? That would involve saving money. So
that's your advice?
That's my advice. The greatest is then we'd get to the end.
Covering his ears.
The greatest is we'd get to the end and I'd yell, Sonny, get on the toboggan. We're going. Let's do it. And then Lynette would go like, yeah, do it. Here we go. And then Sonny would go like, no. And then Lynette would go, he doesn't have to do it. And then she'd start crying. And then I'd go, oh, we had him. We had him.
Way to stick together.
You just needed one more. You got to do it. So we finally would just shoved him onto like the Cars ride. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the picture... I think it's pretty. It's pretty perfect.
That's Space Mountain, right? Yeah, that's where they take the picture because it's got the speakers in this.
Probably Space Mountain. Natalia's enjoying the shit out of it. Sonny has his eyes closed and his ears plugged. Wow. Lynette's sort of in between, and I'm enjoying myself.
She's fretting over Sonny.
Absolutely,
right. She's fretting over Sonny. So I think this picture about
sums it up.
Sums it up, and I got to tell you.
Pretty good.
I woke up this morning. I got up early. Natalia walks to school. Sonny gets driven by mom. See if we can start working on that. It's driving rain this morning. I mean, SoCal's underwater. It's driving rain. Natalia is standing by the front door, and I said, oh, you're not walking to school today. She's like, yes, I am. And I'm like, well, how are you going to walk through? I'll use an umbrella. And I was like,
you got to encourage this kind of grit, man.
Yeah.
I know. I said,
shocking.
Oh, no, I didn't want to drive her to school. I just
make
said,
no mistake.
You were questioning.
Every once in a while, I go, what would a good parent ask? Like, what would a normal person say? And I'd go, are you sure I should drive? You know, it's like that thing where you go, you know, like when somebody, you know, you go to dinner with a rich guy and the check comes, you make a feeble attempt and then they grab it and they go, oh, no, please, I got this.
On,
and then
no,
you go,
sure?
Are you sure you don't want to go Dutch? Like, you know, it's not going to be, yeah, get your cash out, bitch. It's like, you're going to say it.
You paid last time.
Right. That's what I was doing. So I said, you sure you don't want to drive to me? And she's like, no, I'll use the umbrella. She then puts a backpack on her back, and then there's a front backpack, like she's SEAL Team 6, like coming out of the back of a C-130. She does a front and back. She does a double backpack. It's teeming. I mean, for those probably seen it in the news, but SoCal, it's flooding. It's going nuts. It's 7:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's pouring. Mm-hmm. Pops the thing and just heads on.
Nice.
Heads on down the hall.
She and Jim.
And she saw Dad's room, and she kept fucking walking.
Mother, yes, son.
Then she yelled at the nanny to make her waffles. And she walked on down the hall. All right. So, my advice. She's a trooper. Sonny, we're going to have to coach up a little more. But the moral of the story is we shoved him onto those roller coasters.
Yep.
And after about 2.5,
he's
fine with it. And the moral is shove him on. All right, we got the game to play. First, we got Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Challenge, with your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full. synthetic oil. What's this week's challenge question, Max Pata?
All right, this is from Dimitri Roshko on Instagram. Hashtag casual challenge. Ace, why can't we have cool 90s Japanese cars in California like Skyline, Silvias, all kind of crazy Japanese stuff they have that we can't have here?
Well, Japan used to do what Subaru used to do, which is a Japanese company. And I think a lot of car companies did it, German included. They would do their sort of cool, sporty versions for themselves, and then they'd send over the sort of Econo Box lesbian wagons for us. And at a certain point, I don't know. Here's you guys tell me. This is almost exclusively Japan and Germany. Almost exclusively, like BMW and Mercedes and Subaru and Datsun. They made kind of hot versions of their car that they kept for themselves.
We never saw
something to do with World War II. Maybe
a little.
The two countries we just basically obliterated are the ones that are kind of
hoarding
their cool cars. And now they're not, by the way. Like it happened from that they started making these cars in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. It wasn't that long after the war.
Yeah.
And they kind of hoarded them, and now they're sending them over. Now in the past, we had a whole bunch of different rules. See, now we have sort of world standards. We don't have a smog rule here and no smog rule in Strudeldorf, or a bumper rule here and a bumper rule. Now they're able just to make a car pretty much and send it out. The cars they would send in would be called gray market. As a matter of fact, look no further if you think about, Rain Man.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Right.
Remember his job?
He was like an importer.
He was importing these Italian cars. I think they're mostly Ferrari, but like Italian Countaches and Lamborghinis and Pernod.
I remember it was pseudo-legal when he was...
Yeah, well, he was like on the phone with this guy at DOT saying, I got to get these cars passed. Right. You know, so meaning Tom Cruise, which used to be a business. Like, you want a Lamborghini Countach, they don't have them, or you can't get them, or you can't get this version of it, but I'll gray market... I'll bring it in.
And he was cash poor or something because it was being held up at customs or something.
They were being held up by like the Department of Transportation because he got the cars, but he couldn't give them to the customers before they were certified.
There you go.
So it's like inspected, like meat from Korea or something. You know what I mean? Like we can't just send it to the restaurant. It's got to go through this thing. We got to make sure they have 5-mile-an-hour bumpers and the turn side marker lights and things that we have that they don't that they didn't have. So there was that. Now it's just world market stuff. Thank you, Castrol Challenge, Castrol Edge. All right, let's see. Pete's here. Maybe we should play the game with Pete Siegel. Yeah,
Hollywood Insider.
I think he'd have some thoughts about this. Director, producer, screenwriter. I was enjoying Tommy Boy the other day. It popped up on cable. I hadn't seen it in a million years.
It's very enjoyable.
It's my airplane movie. It's my favorite.
It's kind of sweet and funny. Yep. Of course it is. Naked Gun, 33 1/3. Anger Management, 51st Dates. Another very sweet movie. Maybe Pete's got a sweet side, although he did walk on to USC's football team.
I was looking at a little factoid. Some of the players there, I'm guessing, was probably 1980-ish. That was a stacked team. They won the championship in 78 or 9, whatever it was.
Yep. Marcus Allen, Jack Del Rio, Jeff Fisher, DB, defensive back.
All right.
Back then.
He was good. That was a great defensive backfield. Ronnie Lott was there. I don't know if it was that exact year, but that defensive backfield at Arrow was fantastic.
I talked to Pete at a party where he'd been drinking. He said he walked on. He found Marcus Allen. He said, I'd like your number, and you're out. You can play special teams, but I'll be starting a tailback. Then he walked over to the defensive side of the ball. He said, Del Rio, I play middle backer. I'm the stud backer on this team.
Get lost.
Go ahead and get benched, and you can play on kickoff return if you like.
You can be a gunner. Let me see your 40.
Yeah, and then he walked to Fisher and said, you're lucky I can't play two positions on this team. And walk back into the huddle.
I mean, I could, but coach won't let me.
That's right. He said he was a punt. It says he punter. He got Well, it says punted. Oh, yeah, he got cut punted. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Pete right after this.
Did you miss out on the Corolla Christmas crate? What can we say? We told you they'd sell out. Good news is, we've got another deal that will brighten up the holidays for the ultimate ACS fan in your life. From now until Tuesday, December 11th, you'll be able to get the limited edition If You're Offended shirt with a 3-pack of Mangria for only $50. Head to CorollaDrinks.com now to get yours. And this time, heed my words, we will sell out. Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show.